Jerry Bader Show, 9:35. Yeah, I'm here. Now what did he do? All right, my wife and I were watching Bob Costas last night. He's got this swollen left side of his face. His eye was partially swollen shut. And my wife didn't recognize it right away. She thought it was something with his glasses. And I said, no, his left cheek is all swollen. Something's going on. Now, there's something more intriguing than that with Bob Costas. Although the swollen left eye was kind of intriguing. Apparently, he praised Vladimir Putin. We'll get to that later in the show. NBC's Bob Costas portrays Russian leader as great peacemaker. All right, this is a weird show. This is one of these shows where every time I turn around, there's something new that I want to put on the agenda. But I have to finish this topic on the fact that there's no front runner right now. And I have a thought on that. That Larry Sabato lists what he thinks are the contenders as they exist January 2014. He has Scott Walker, number one, Rand Paul, number two, Chris Christie, three, Marco Rubio, four, Ted Cruz, five, John Kasich, six, Jeb Bush. Now you get into wild cards. Wild cards are Jeb Bush and Paul Ryan. There are two schools of thought here. Another wild card, by the way, is Mike Huckabee. I don't see him at all. There are two schools of thought. Has Chris Christie's problems helped the most? A Politico piece said Scott Walker, because he is the next in line reformist governor in a blue state that would fit the mold of what I talked about, a Washington outsider executive governor experience. Conservative rock star because of what he has withstood here in Wisconsin. And Politico argued that he was the big gainer from Chris Christie's woes. National Review Online said it was Jeb Bush, and here was their standard for that. They're saying Jeb Bush is getting the money, and that's what it's all about. That not getting it already, but as donors, as the deep establishment Republican pockets start saying, Chris Christie, that's so yesterday. Yeah, that's water over the bridge. Under the bridge. Sorry about that. That was bad. That was a bad pun. That's pretty bad. Yeah, I know. Is it kicking the guy when he's down? No, it's water under the bridge, water over the dam. People screw that up all the time. I corrected myself. All right. Even though I butchered it, it was still appropriate. So the two people that are seemingly benefiting the most from Chris Christie's woes are Scott Walker and Jeb Bush. Probably Walker in terms of public perception, but in terms of the people with the deep pockets, Jeb Bush. I have said all along they wanted him all along, that the establishment Republican Party wanted him all along. There's a big deal breaker with him, though. There is a huge deal breaker with him, with the conservative base, and it has nothing to do with immigration or anything else. He has embraced Common Core curriculum. That is a major deal. Jeb Bush, major deal breaker. I don't think so. Here's my prediction on this. And I could be wrong. Lord knows I've been wrong before. I just don't see him getting traction. And here's the other thing that I think is really, really, really playing against him. His name. And the whole dynasty thing. Now, if Hillary Clinton does run, she's going to face that same argument. And I understand that. And I get that. I do. But that said, okay, she would be the second Clinton president. He would be the third. A father and two sons. I think that plays heavily against Jeb Bush, and I think there's still that name is reviled by even some moderates. And I don't see him. I just don't see it taking off. I really don't. Now, here's my opinion on this. I think it's a good thing that no one has emerged early, that there is no anointed one. And it doesn't appear that there is going to be an anointed one, although they're going to try. Now, what you had in Chris Christie was the Republican establishment trying to anoint a candidate. He blew up in their face like an exploding cigar. I really believe that. It's just my opinion. I do not believe he's going to recover from this, whether you think it's fair or unfair, because no, there's always going to be that cloud, not a shadow, but a cloud of a doubt over his head that he knew about it and that he orchestrated it. And it goes with his pattern of being a bully. I think it might be, when it comes to presidential politics, a fatal wound. And it is a fatal wound if already the donors are like, yeah, well, scrub that. We'll go find something else now. Then it is fatal, because that's everything. You know that. That's everything in politics. Where is the money going? I think they're going to try to anoint Jeb Bush. And look, there's an attractiveness there. Florida, of course, is very important. As former governor, a popular one, tax-cutting governor, he could carry Florida. Do you know it's possible, as the nominee, that Scott Walker would not carry Wisconsin? It is possible. Because nationally, and Sabato is right about this, he is going to energize the union base nationally. Because they're going to be so terrified of what a President Walker would look like in terms of unions, particularly public employee unions, versus Governor Walker. He is going to be polarizing. That's why I think Politico is wrong, and that the Republican establishment is not going to get behind anyone who they are going to perceive as polarizing. They perceive Jeb as unifying. That's what the Republican establishment is all about right now, which is why I told you in the early days of November 2012 after the election, they were going to lock in on him with a laser beam. While he's been indifferent. Jeb Bush is more in the mold of the Chris Christie that the Republican establishment likes, at least the phony Chris Christie, who pretended to be a unifier and not a big bully, which he really is. He is. Then the other wild card, one of the other wild cards out there is Paul Ryan. I do not believe he's running for president. He won't even go for speaker. It is widely believed that if he wanted to be Speaker of the House, it would be his for the asking. He doesn't want it. A guy who doesn't want the speakership is going to run for president? He only ran for VP because he felt he was duty-bound to do so. Yeah, I know there's... a friend writes, Joe writes, the major deal breakers for Jeb Bush with conservatives. He's a Bush, immigration, Big Ten stance, Common Core, refusing to stand up or defend Terry Schiavo. That has not stopped the Republican establishment from pushing someone like that before. I guess I would argue Mitt Romney was actually more conservative than Jeb Bush. The problem is, if the establishment gets behind him, it makes it very difficult for anyone else. The one chance they have at anointing the candidate is Jeb Bush. He said he'll decide after the midterms, after November of this year. Well, that's when pretty much everyone will. It'll be December, January. That's when you'll start hearing everybody formally announce. If he runs, he's running because he thinks he's going to be the establishment candidate. Now, the good news, though, is that's a much shorter time frame. And remember what the party's doing. They're compressing the process. They may have their convention in June because they realized they got bit last time. Romney couldn't start spending money because he had to wait until he was formally the candidate. That was almost Labor Day. So I even if the establishment party, the party establishment decides it's him, they have a much, much more compressed clock. Less than a year and a half to do that, where you knew it was Romney from November 2008, and you knew that was who the establishment was going to back. I think that there's no front runner right now is a very healthy thing. There's so many things going on here. I don't know where I want to go next. Oh, you know what? Let me do this. Let me tuck this in because it's relevant. It is relevant. Joe Biden. Joe Biden said two things that are getting a lot of attention. One is he said LaGuardia Airport in New York looked like something out of a third world country. Have you ever been to LaGuardia, Jason? You have not. It is not a great airport. And not a lot of people will disagree with him that it's a dump. I've been there, I guess you could say, three times. I flew in there when we had issues getting to Boston. And we had to go to LaGuardia and then down to Boston. And we had to actually go out on the street in a bus to get to another terminal. It does kind of look when you get off a plane. Now, I flew in and out when we were there for 2011. For the 9/11 10th anniversary, I didn't think it was, I don't know, it seemed like a big city airport to me. But it is outdated. He's right about that. But a third world, I thought, was harsh. I think the thing that's much more interesting is he said he can't think of a reason not to run for president. Vice President Joe Biden can't think of a good reason why he shouldn't run for president. There's no obvious reason for me why I think I should not run, he said in an interview that aired on CNN's New Day on Friday. He'll make his final decision in summer 2015 based on whether he's the best qualified person to focus on two things, giving ordinary people a fighting chance to make it and a sound foreign policy. So rather than coming up for good reasons to run for president, he can't think of a good reason not to run for president. This is great. This is great because I now have his campaign slogan. Joe Biden can't think of a good reason not to run for president. I can see the bumper sticker now. Biden 2016. Why the hell not? It's 9:47.
Join the Jerry Bader Facebook fan page. Go to jerrybadershow.com.